studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Monday afternoon, 1 o'clock at our new time in Pacific time. And I got a quick question. I'm Robin, by the way, that you're listening to Oregon Update. I got a quick question for my co-host, Cliff.
Uh-oh. I'm ready.
And that question is, how smart are smartphones really?
Oh, they're much smarter than me, let me tell you, because trying to convince smartphones to work is almost an impossibility most of the time. So I don't know.
I don't know. I'm still kind of old school. I still got the old Razor, which, it doesn't do as much as a smartphone does, but I can answer my phone a lot faster than anybody with a smartphone can.
Really? Why?
Well, yeah, you just open it up, go, hello, instead of going, pull it out, slide the little thingy over there, and put it up to your ear or do whatever you want to do. I just open it up and say, hi.
Yeah, I got mine set up that way too, but that actually, you know, Candy has the same phone exactly, and she's got her set up so she push a button, and she doesn't even have to slide it open. So yeah, it depends. You know, it's just amazing the kind of things that go on with the phones. And you know, you're bringing up the phones. Of course, that's one of the things I want to talk about is the tablets, which are phones nowadays. Are we ready to get into that, or are we doing something else first, or what have you got in mind here?
Well, let's get some business out of the way. First of all, again, welcome to the program. You can join us, by the way, by speaking of phones.
A smart.
And dialing smartphones or not so smartphones or whatever, and by pushing these little digits known as 646-721-9887. You can also listen to the program live by calling that number, and when you decide that you would like to join the conversation, just press the one on your touchpad, and a little symbol will come up on my board here, and I'll go welcome area code so and so to the program. You can also follow us on our chat room. We have two chat rooms, and I'm sure you're going to hear a little tune real quick because Cliff remembers to open up the other one. But the follow us on, join us on the Blog Talk Radio's chat room. He's doing it right now, by the way. Blog Talk Radio's chat room, which unfortunately, you do need an account if you want to participate more than just seeing what's going on. The other one, which is at krbnradio.com, does not require any type of an account.
That's easy. All you have to do is come up with some sort of a handle. That's what it is. It's a handle, right? And put that in.
But now, you just heard, folks, was Cliff locking
it. Mine. Yeah, I forgot. I do that all the time. But anyway, yeah, you bring up the handle, and that's all you need. It's just a name or a handle or whatever you want to call it, and you can chat with us, and you can ask questions. You can make comments, and depending on the comments, we might actually mention them on the radio. And other comments, we might not. I'll just let you know. Right off the bat.
And if you are listening to the program and you're listening to the archives, you can still participate by following us on Facebook, Twitter. You can always send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. We're just all over the place. You can pod for on iTunes. And for grins and giggles, we're just working on more and more stuff because we want to be everywhere.
And you go out and dig for us in the desert. Won't get
That's
you,
right.
But it doesn't make any difference. We won't be there, but.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Just now they might find an old CD and go, what's this? It must be some ancient artifact.
Yeah, nowadays. Yeah, you know, and it's I will have to say, though, I'm amazed at how many people still have turntables and actual vinyl records laying around. Mostly now it's albums, it's not 45s, because that was a big thing for a long time. I have this thing, I listen to these old-time radio shows at night, and it's really interesting because they're time span, I guess, is around the 20s to the 50s or 60s. And in the 40s and 50s, actually in the 50s, I guess it is when they were starting to develop the 45 RPM records. Before that, they were 78 RPM records, but the 45s went so much finer quality. The sound quality was better. And then they came up with this little record changer, little automatic 45 RPM record changer that was set up specifically just for the 45 RPM records with the big holes in the middle. And it's interesting because back then, when those things were introduced, they were $12.95. $12.95 for a record changer. And you could buy them with the – and that was the one that plugged into the back of your radio or your television or whatever you had that would plug into. But they had the ones that were whole little record players all by themselves for $29 as well. So it was just kind of interesting to hear about the beginnings of these things. And somebody mentioned that, you know, now there were a million of these out on there in the market, and people were now buying 45 RPM records like mad, and it was such a big success, and on and on. Anyway.
Yeah, also in the 45s where you could just buy one song that you wanted. And what was cool, too, they always torture the cat by putting something on the turntable and have it try and catch it. But then again, Cliff also remembers when the first car came out, too. So
no, not quite, but close. I'll tell you. But yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's, and here's the interesting thing: we're in the middle of another revolution or revelation or change in the world now, because the internet has made huge changes. The record player did for a while there, and the records and such, and but even now more than anything, the telephone. I mean, the telephone made a monstrous change in our life, and it's doing it again by morphing itself entirely. And now telephones don't look at all or act at all like they used to act. And I'm going to take that to bring up the fact that Barnes & Noble just launched its Nook tablet, which is, it's a reader. You know, Amazon and a bunch of these places have these readers or tablet computers, sort of. But this one does go online and does do all kinds of things. It'll stream movies. It's got a – they've actually, the Nook thing has a partnership with Zulu and Netflix both, and provides movies so that you can sit and watch them or stream them or whatever you want to do. You can read magazines, children's books. You can use all of the apps. There's all the apps that you can download, which some of them are free, some of them are expensive, and there's also the apps from the Barnes & Noble bookstore. So it's really kind of a big thing. They've got a thing called Vivid View. But more of the point is, to this point, iPads and iBooks, I guess is what they were, they were $500 and up. And this Barnes & Noble tablet is going to cost $249. And then they've got their previous one, the Nook Color, that's going to go down to $199. So these things are getting – my biggest thing is to – I want to give everybody the inside. Buy them now. This is the entrance, so to speak. This is the holiday season where all these people are trying to come out with the new books and the new tablets, and everybody's trying to do a thing one up on the other person. And right now is the time to buy it, because this is a brand new one for $249. And there's others as well. In fact, there's an Android out.
Before we get into the others, because we still got business to do before we get into the topics today, let's give them a quick highlight of what some of the topics are. Then we'll get into a little bit of commercial business here. Want to touch a little bit on today's show about Herman Cain. He's in trouble again for the fourth time. If you ever decide that you want to become a president, stand in line. And Cliff has got a few things on his board. Cliff, what do you got for them?
Oh, there's all kinds of things. Speaking of standing in line, I'll let you know when the next debate is. We've got several debates coming up still. We do have some information about what's going on in the rest of the world, because, ready or not, the rest of the world does make a huge difference as to what's happening in the United States. Greece, for example, is right on the precipice of being...
right on the what?
Precipice. Edge of the ledge.
Yeah.
They're going bankrupt. They're in big trouble. And if Greece goes down, you can pretty much bet that it's not going to be long before Italy goes, and then Spain, and then it's just going to be a big topple. And by the time those three, I mean, Spain is a huge, huge economy. It is a monstrous economy. And if that goes, the United States, I would be willing to bet you, is going to have either already gone or is going to go with it. What's happening in the world today is very, very, very touchy and very important. So we need to pay attention to that as well. Lots of things going on. I've got some comments from some of the people who are running for president. We've got a whole bunch of them. As you say, stand in line. There's a bunch of people lining up to get in on the whole game. So there's a lot of things to talk about, and a lot, you know, and the most important thing is to be informed. And our program is one of the nicest ways to be informed, but the internet allows you to be informed. We tell you where to go on the internet. That's where there's other places to go. But anyway, that's basically what's happening. A lot of things going on.
All right, and we'll have that and more right after this.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Yeah, they're available on the internet, dancingdogcookies.com. They're also available in select stores within the Eugene Springfield area in Lane County, and they're really kind of cool looking. They're put together by a husband and wife team. They're all handmade, and check them out.
Interestingly enough, you can go on to KRBN.com, KRBNradio.com. I keep forgetting that part, KRBNradio.com. And they're right over there on the left-hand side at the bottom of the page, Dancing Dog Cookies. You can click there and go right to his or their website and take a look at what's going on. It's kind of neat. They're neat cookies. We need you know, they've got to come up with, you know, dancing cookies for kitties. Dancing cat cookies? I don't know.
Dancing kitty cookies?
Dancing kitty cookies. They got dancing dog cookies. Maybe it's just sitting cat cookies or something.
I don't.
Something of that sort, anyway.
I check them out. They're really kind of cool looking, and definitely worth the effort. And your dog will love them. And, well, you might too, but you could eat them. But anyway.
Well, I'm sure.
So lots to talk about. Herman Cain, I guess. I wanted to kind of touch on that briefly. I don't want to spend too much time on him. I guess the count of the sexual assault is up to number 4. I'll tell you, the guy is kind of, I don't know what he was doing when he was in charge of the restaurant association, but he's been keeping busy back there.
Well, actually, I've seen him talk to people and answer those questions, and his idea is that he just wasn't really doing anything. You, when you're in a position like that, people have a tendency to misconstrue things that you do or say. I find that it's really a very, very bad situation that our world is in at the moment, because all you have to do is just say something wrong or, you know, reach over to tap a person, a woman on the shoulder or something, and she can decide that that's sexual harassment, if you want to. And the idea is, the first three of these, by the way, would not even release their names. They would not allow any information about them. This one has not yet, by the way. She said that she will, and she has hired a high falutin lawyer, the same lawyer that has gotten huge amounts of money from different kinds of things and is really into this, I think, more for the press than anything else. So whether it goes anywhere or not, that's a real good question. I can understand being somewhat miffed to when people will only talk about that, though.
Right, and would it affect your opinion about him? I mean, we had a president that was kind of messing around, you know, Clinton, and while the news services during that era was making a big deal of it, most of the people were going, what's going on behind the scenes in the world that we're more interested about than the president's little side ventures?
Yes, Clinton did get through that without too much hassle. He did not get through it completely, though, because he was indeed impeached. But then, interestingly enough, we went through the whole impeachment ceremony and rigmarole, and he still stayed in office. So, you know, I don't know. It's rather amazing to me that one person can get away with it, another one can't. But again, technically speaking, what a person does in their bedroom should not be the concern of the entire nation.
Yeah, but it's interesting, though, that out of all the scandals and everything else that goes down, that's all it takes is just a little sexually explicit something. And
of course, enough, most of these people who wasn't in the bedroom. That's the ridiculous part. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. To me, we're back to my big thing. Of course, you know, what Clinton got in trouble for was lying, not for the doing, but for lying about it. And it's, in my opinion, once you lie, once you're caught and out lie that's proven that you've just lied, you should be removed from office and never allowed to even run again in anything, period. I mean, you couldn't even, I wouldn't even let him be hold the sign at a crosswalk for kids, you know. It's just ridiculous because, you know, we've taken our whole political system and said it's okay to lie. Why did we do that? Why are we doing that? I mean, what kind of idiots are we as citizens when it's okay for all of our political people to lie? It's not.
I don't know. What?
What?
Well, you said what kind of idiots are we. I'm just kind of go, what are our choices?
What kind of idiots are we? Well, no, there was... What kind of fool am I? The choices are all there, I guess. I mean, we obviously are idiots because I just can't conceive of us, everybody sitting back and saying, okay, and that's why we've got to change things. What's happened is more to the point, we aren't sitting back and saying it's okay to lie. We're just ignoring the entire political system. And that's something we've got to change. We've got to pay attention to it. And that's my whole point. That's my whole thing is to try to get people to pay attention to what's happening politically, locally, regionally, nationally. It's important. You're allowing people to control your lives. It's not, you know, at this particular point, especially we're being, I guess I have to say thank you to President Obama in one way. He is getting the point across that he's a crook and that he's a rabble rouser, and he's getting the point across that you do have to pay attention to who's voted in. My old bit of it, well, he's only going to be there 4 years. How much damage can he do? I've obviously been proven totally and horribly wrong because he can do a lot of damage and create a lot of problems, and we're about to go bankrupt because of him. I believe it's totally because of him. Now, we had a couple presidents, three or four presidents ahead of him that helped set it up. But he's the one who's pushed it over the edge again and made some real problems. And he isn't – basically, his biggest thing is he's decided that he doesn't have to follow the rules. He doesn't have to go along with the rules. He doesn't have to be a part of the regulations. He can just go – beyond that and do whatever he wants to do because he's better than us, than everybody.
Well, on that same token, just like one of the things I've been saying a lot is what happens when a president goes out of control in the 21st century because things can happen so quickly. Well, the president's going around now saying if Congress won't do it, I will, using executive order. And we did this on one of the previous shows. Do you remember the count of how many executive orders that he's done since he's been in office?
Yes, it's 26 just this year.
Exactly. Yeah. And so what is the president's power end? I mean, I know that Congress controls the funding and everything, but...
Well, obviously it doesn't, because he's spending money. He's going around them with everything.
Yeah, and that's just been my point. I mean, especially in the 21st century, you know, so much can happen so quickly. And the process, when it was first put in for controlling the president, like the impeachment process, is so cumbersome and so slow, and so much can happen in the meantime. That's why I think we need to start putting in better checks and balances into the system to do it. And what scares me is that it gets reelected.
Again, the important thing is we need to pay attention to what's there. We need to start enforcing laws and things that are there. Obama doesn't even believe he's bound by the Constitution. He doesn't pay any attention to the Constitution. He doesn't pay any attention to the law, moral, ethical. He doesn't care. And he's giving away our tax dollars. He's giving them away. If you were to check and find the ultimate end, it's his own cronies and his own supporters that he's giving the money to. Acorn, look how much money he's helped Acorn steal from the American public, and they're still doing it. He's still defending them and funding them. More than anything, but anything he wants to do, he feels he can do it, and if nobody wants to go along with him, he'll just do it anyway. And there's got to be a way. I'm agreeing with you now. I don't have the answer right on the tip of my tongue, but we've got to have a way to get him out of there. I mean, not next year or next week or whatever. We've got to find a way to get him out of there. It's becoming very, very important.
Exactly. But you know, like you said earlier, what Obama has done, the unforeseen consequences, has got a lot of people to get out and get involved. I mean, starting with the Occupy movement, for one, all the way down to like Bank of America and a few others wanting to charge that $5 fee. And people are getting together as a group, and also, again, like I say, thanks to the internet, and are just saying no. And Bank of America just recently, this week, I believe, announced that it's going to rescind that fee just because of people getting together and sticking together and making their point known.
And I think probably the first thing that happened, the real important thing, was a couple of years ago when we did come up with the new it's not really a... it's not like the GOP or the Democrats, because the Tea Party, it's not a real party, but in reality, it is a real party, because the Tea Party was formed, and the Tea Party has turned into a very good educational device. Their Tea Party is out there teaching people and explaining to people what's going on and doing a much better job than the actual GOP or the Democratic Party is doing, because all they're worried about is collecting money. The Tea Party, I think, is doing a much better job of explaining what our system is like and what is going on and what is happening to it. And the Occupy whatever city protesters, they are going to, I think, possibly turn into that too. Right now, basically, they're just out there because it's a cool thing to do. But they're out there in such numbers that they're creating some interest in people. Unfortunately, you don't really have much real information coming out of it, other than the people who are debating the occupiers themselves. As we sit back and watch what's going on the internet and what they're doing, and we see some people out there just saying, I want you to give me, you know, pay my rent, pay my school loan off, and that sort of thing. Well, that's really not the answer. That's not really what you want to do. What you want to do is give them jobs so that they can pay it off. Then they're not going to be so unhappy. These people, when you're out there and you have no money and you have these bills and have these debts, you're very, very disturbed, and I don't blame them. But, you know, what we've got to do is work on getting people jobs and making people go, allowing people go back to work.
Whatever party that they're involved in, Tea Party, the Occupy movement, or whatever, the whole point is.
What was that?
Thank you. I don't know, but step away from the button.
You do if you.
What did I tell you about playing with the keyboard? Anyways, it doesn't matter what group it is. The point is, in 2010 or 2011 here that people have got together in masses. And I mean, unfortunately, the Occupy movement is not really sending much of a message except for the numbers. But still, more than any time that I can remember in history, except for maybe like the 60s or whatever, people are getting upset. They're getting together and they're letting their opinions be known. And speaking of, by the way, I have locally for Eugene, I have a little note that the Occupy Eugene movement has moved over to the underneath the Washington Jefferson Street Bridge. And the reason why that didn't make a very big headlines is because nobody cares, because you can't tell the difference between the Occupy movement and the people that are already homeless and camping there to begin with.
But that's a sad situation. I mean, if there's people already homeless and camping there already, that's a failure in our society. And so that's something we need to do about. And again, I'm sure a lot of that has to do with jobs. I mean, that's probably the most important thing. I think this has something to do with. Let's listen to this.
The U.S. economy has 6 million fewer jobs today than it did 4 years ago. 2 million of those, a third, have disappeared from manufacturing, from this one sector. Yet many manufacturers report not being able to fill advanced manufacturing positions. How do you begin to address the skills deficit?
You attach a mandatory training requirement to all unemployment compensation. And you say, if you need unemployment compensation, fine, but you have to sign up for a business-offered job training program. If you had 99 weeks of unemployment, that's the associate degree. In 99 weeks, you could train virtually anybody. If you establish the principle, we do not give people money for doing nothing.
Where does the funding come from for the training?
You go to the businesses. You said every business in this country, we're going to provide you free personnel. You can offer distance learning. You look at the University of Phoenix. You look at Kaplan. You look at what the National Association of Manufacturers has done with distance learning. But you say to people, if you took the amount of time we have paid people to do nothing for the last 6 years, you would have the highest human capital in the world in the American workforce. Now, you combine that, as I do at Newt.org, with 100% expensing for all new equipment, so you could write it off in 1 year. And you'll now have the most modern manufacturing equipment in the world with the best trained workforce in the world. And at that point, you tell the Chinese that you know they have a crisis and you'll try to counsel them.
What's the direct?
And see, we've had this going on for, what, 3 years now? So 3 years of training for all these people, if that was a requirement, most of them probably would be back at work right now. We wouldn't be flouncing around like we are.
I mean, I would love to have to be at that podium and asking questions. Like, for example, to go along with that, my own situation, I got 30 years experience as an electronics technician. And in Oregon here, there's a job that I perfectly qualify for as a packaging manufacturing technician, but Oregon put up a barrier because they require a license, which requires 4,000 hours of job experience or a two-year apprenticeship program. And I found out that my company that I worked for, which was an international company, did not jump through the hoops, and my 8 years of experience working as a packaging technician doesn't apply.
Well, and there are...
They're screaming tech for high-tech workers, and here's one here that unless I go and somehow get a two-year apprenticeship to learn what I've already learned, to even get the opportunity to apply for this job, thanks to the state of Oregon.
Well, and that gets down to, I mean, we've got people that are running for office now who have thought of these things. What you're talking about is rules and regulations, you know, I even went out and got a cut from Michelle Bachmann. She has an answer to that.
What I want to do is pull back the regulatory burden. There's an astounding $1.8 trillion regulatory burden every year that businesses comply with. When you consider that we send into the federal government $2.2 trillion in tax receipts this year, and on top of that, we also pay a $1.8 trillion regulation burden, that's what we need to change. I want to pull the regulatory burden back, and then I don't think that we'll need the level of subsidies that we have in the past.
So, you know, rules and regulations are getting in the way of a lot of things, and it can be the EPA, it can be all kinds of different rules and regulations. We've got to get more reasonable with this. We just keep stacking them on higher and higher and higher. Everybody comes up, and I understand probably almost every one of these has a logical reason for being there at one time. But they all just stay there forever and ever, and they can add to them and pile up on them. Again, I'm going to push my thing of everything needs to expire after every 5 years. There is somebody who is running for office, and I don't remember who agrees with me. They said 10 years, but every 5 years, everything should expire, and you have to renew it. Did you go away?
No, I'm still here.
Gave up.
Yeah, I gave up. I was ignoring you. No. No, I agree. I mean, I don't know how logistically that it would work, but you are right though in the fact that a lot of these laws are antiquated. They need to be looked at. And there's laws. You can't obey a law without disobeying another law. So because you know when you have a lot of people that are up there. That whose job is to make laws. Well, what are you gonna get? Except for the fact that the ones that now this is the catch 22. I wish I really knew the numbers on this and how many people up there in Washington don't do their job. And sometimes I think it's a good thing. But you know the attitude of and I throw this about it on every show. Why read the bill? Well, I say why give you a paycheck? But that's a different story.
Really? What other reason have we got these people there for? We've got people in the House. We've got people in the legislature. Why are they there if not to read and interpret and understand these bills? And, of course, that's another thing, too. It is totally ridiculous that a bill is 8 and 10 and 20,000 pages long. That's just totally insane. So we need to do something about that as well. But there are so many things. Yeah.
You don't even read it. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, you know, well, we got to pass the bill to know what's in it. What?
That made no sense at all, but then that's Nancy Pelosi. You know.
We send these people up there. They're supposed to be, you know, I'm assuming it's supposed to be somewhat educated and somewhat bright to be able to do the job, especially the people who've been in there for a while. And they come up with ridiculous statements like, you know, we got to pass the bill to know what's in it. I mean, are you going to sign your mortgage under that same or any other type of contractual agreement under that same type of?
I think a lot of people do.
In that case, then her and I need to go into some negotiations because I got some contracts I'd like her to sign.
Well, yeah, but that's what's happening. Why else would these people be signing up for homes that they know they're not going to be able to pay for, that they know that they're not going to be able to keep? And then we as a society, we as taxpayers are expected somewhere along the line to bail them out. You know, right now he's bailing them out. Obama is actually going back and taking the laws that we've already let happen and the failures that we've already let happen and changing that and saying, oh, no, we can't let anybody else lose their home.
Oh, you're going to get me going on this one. I just know it. When I purchased my home, I was making a lot better money back there then. Proper, who cares? I was making more money back then than I am now. Things happen. The economy changes. Jobs leave. Eugene's an excellent example. I mean, like I said, I was working for a multinational company. They built a building. I was there when they built the building, and I was there when they closed the door 8 years later. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Things happen. The economy went in the toilet.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, fortunately, I'm not upside down in my house yet, but we're getting close.
Well, and
I mean,
the thing is,
175,000. Now it's down to 130,000.
Yeah, again, it's not something that can be fixed by the president saying, okay, you don't have to pay for a couple months or something. I mean, the simple fact of the matter is things have changed, and yes, that means that things need to be revalued, and it's up to the banks to decide when and how to do that. They have the experience and they have the wherewithal to be able to do that. The president doesn't have the experience or the knowledge. I mean, he can be a very smart man, but he doesn't know everything, and he's trying to say that he does. He can fix everything. Wrong! He can't fix everything. So consequently, we need to get back to working with the full Senate and the full House in order to let them debate and to talk about things and work with things. You can't let – this is – we've got a country that's being run by one man. And, again, that was not the way that was set up. That's not where our checks and balances are. So we've got to either get him out of there or make him somehow or another comply with the laws and the regulations. He's the biggest well, he is. So I don't want to – I was going to say something.
I'll tell you what. While I'm taking a deep breath, why don't you tell the folks out there how they can join the conversation.
We can join the conversation really easy because I really want to hear from you. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call. 646-721-9887. Give that number a call. You'll hear us as soon as you get connected. You'll hear the show going on. And then whenever you want to join in and talk to us, press a 1 on the dial of your telephone, and that'll alert us that you are there, and we will actually push a little button here, such technology, that will allow you to talk.
I love it when you talk tech.
Really? Yeah, so involved. But basically it works, folks. That's the whole idea. 646-721-9887. I want to hear what you have to say because there's got to be people with an opposite view of I am. I've listened on the radio at night a couple of times, and I actually heard somebody who liked President Obama. I can't conceive of that at this particular point, but there was somebody who was defending him there. So if you want to do that, we'll talk to you. We may yell at you, but we'll talk to you. So.
Yep. Yeah, there's been a lot of activity in the chat room today, and so like Cliff said, you know, give us a call, 646-721-9887, join in the conversation, and let us in and the world know what you think. No pressure, but be advised though, it is addicting once you get onto a talk show. If you've never done it before, it can be habit forming. So 646-721-9887, you can also listen to the program live while we're broadcasting at that same number, and. But give us a call. And again, if you missed the program, you can always send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. Okay, I'm calm now.
Okay. Well, I want to get back just real quick here to this. I started to talk about the Android that's coming up, and I want to just do it through a couple of those, and we'll let them go. But I mentioned that this Nook that has come up from Barnes & Noble for $249, and Android has come up on the market now for $179 during the holidays. And I just want to let everybody know that these things are happening and that you need to take a look and go after them, because if you're going to buy one of these things, right now is the time to do it. They're going to go up because Amazon has already admitted that their Fire tablet that they're manufacturing, they're selling it for less money than it cost to make it right at this particular point in time. So now is the time to buy it while they're selling it for less, because they're not going to do that forever. The company can't continue to do that forever and stay in business unless it's charging you way too much for something somewhere else along the line, which I know companies that do that too. But they're available. There's a lot of them available, not just a couple. There's probably 50 different tablet type things out there available right now, and some of them are very reasonably priced. So take a look at what's around and what's available, and take this time, this opportunity, this holiday season to buy it. Save a few pennies and buy it, because it's gonna. I really think this internet thing is liable to stick around a while, so and it can help you a lot. And there's so many ways because you can set these things up, different news sources, so that they will go right straight to your tablet and will pop up there, and you can read it. And it can, you don't even have to search for things; it'll search for you and pass that information on to you, so you can become tremendously aware of what's going on in the world and what affects your life, your specific life, without real lot of work. You don't even have to go out and buy a newspaper or anything. Once you've bought this tablet, granted that it's a little more, well, I was going to say I would buy lots of newspapers. Not anymore. Newspapers are really expensive. But
there is a non-paid spokesperson for Amazon.com. And you too can have one of those tablets with the high-tech names such as Fire, Nuke, Ice Sandwich, and other. What's with all those names?
Well, it's not even like N-U-K-E. It's N-O-O-K. Nook.
Nook.
It's really wild. But, yeah, and I think now is the time to do it because that's what I'm saying. You're getting in on the cutting edge, the very beginning of something, and this is what's happening. Now, it may change, but if you get in on it at a reasonable price, who cares if it changes? You've already got it to use, and it's going to be there for a while. So
the obsolete week after you buy it anyway, so hurry up.
Yeah. Well, everything. It's probably obsolete now. That's no big thing. You know, everything I own is obsolete. What are you talking about?
Okay, on my list here, you wanted to get in a little bit more about the Europe and how it affects the U.S. And off air, Cliff and I kind of got into a little bit of a shouting match over there. So I'll try to be nice this time.
Well, I don't know. I remember what we got in the shouting match about, but the basic thing that we've got to concern ourselves about right now is the fact that Europe is teetering. Not just one or two, but several countries are teetering. There are other countries that are doing very well. But Greece right now is really in trouble. They've got a real major problem. There's some interesting little there's a game in Greece that they're playing now. It's called Did You Know That in Greece? And then they fill it in. For example, one of the things is, did you know that in Greece the railway system would be cheaper if they took every passenger to their destination by taxi? Which is really saying, you know, that something's wrong with the railway system. Did you know that in Greece right now every MP has the right to an official car? Well, every cop gets a car? No, I don't think so. And
cops and cars. Cops and cars, what a concept.
Well, but they don't give them the car. Every one of them, you know. Usually there's two or three people in a car at a time.
Make it like Christmas?
Well, that's what's been going on. It's been Christmas in Greece for way too many years, and it's catching up with them. They've got to do something about it. The fact that they've been living beyond their means is the least of their That's a simple way of putting it, but they have been living beyond their means, and they've got to do something. And right now, the Greek prime minister has been asked to step down. They're going to be, the problem is, again, it's just like here, it can't happen fast enough. Okay, if the Greek prime minister were to step down, there would be an election, and they would elect a new prime minister and go on from there. But this takes months, and the European Union has said, no, you've got to do it now. Something has to be done now. We've already loaned you X amount of dollars several times, and we're not going to give you another dime unless you do something about it now. This has been going on for a couple of years. Now, the thing is, the Greek people, just the everyday people, have been giving up things for a couple of years now, and it hasn't solved the problem. When you sit back and let some of these government people do the thing, they don't. So there's got to be a way of you were talking about sanctioning people or kicking people out or whatever you want to call it, changing things right immediately. And that's what they're going to have to do. So actually today, as a matter of fact, they are coming up with I don't know what they want to call it, but a group of people that's going to come up with an idea of how to take care of this, and then they'll submit that to the European Union and the work on it. And there is an election involved, but not the actual election to change prime ministers. But they are going to put in an interim, temporary, whatever you want to call it, type of government entity that can do something with this. But Greece is—they're doomed to decay. I mean, they're in on that route already. So they've got to do something that immediately takes place. And then the thing is, it's not just Greece. I mean, there's others.
Greece that Obama was concerned, or just had a meeting with, because he was concerned about changing the currency from the euro to something else.
That too, because they're talking about dropping off of the euro. They're dropping. You see, if they do that, I mean, you talk about Greek, Irish, Portuguese, Spanish, Italian, that are all thinking about that. And if that happens, there is no more euro. There is no more
right.
euro. And how do we?
Now, the thing that Cliff, I got into a little argument off the air on is as he's while we're doing the show prep, he's telling me all this, and playing devil's advocate here is, yeah, we heard a lot about Greece in the news last couple of weeks, but then I haven't paid too much attention to it because I asked the question, okay, that's great. I'm sorry they're having troubles over there. We got our troubles over here. Why should I care? And
well, the simple fact is you have to care because it's going to hit you. Greece is going down. If Greece actually literally goes down, the next one is, well, the Irish are in there too. They're probably one of the next ones. Portugal, Spain, Italy. If any two of more of those plus Greece go in under and change things, it's going to change us. The dollar is the monetary base for everyone, not just us. The monetary base for everyone. Now, there are a few countries that try to say that's not. By China, for example, they seem to like their own, but they don't try to push theirs on everybody else. The point is, these countries are volatile right now. And if something happens to them, and it's not, I would like to say it's not if, it's when, but something is going to take place. And if they can't figure it out, and we just had the G20, folks. That's the one thing. That's the big, big, big meeting that was supposed to come up with answers. It didn't. And consequently, the question is still out there. And as long as the question is out there, either we're going to have to come up with the answer or they're going to have to come up with the answer. But until someone does, it's not going to be much longer before it all collapses. And when it all collapses, you think the Greek people are living bad or living low. It's going to be us, too. Things are going to go way, way down. And there are people, and I'm afraid I'm one of them, that doesn't say if that happens, it's when that happens. It is going to happen because people are sitting back. You as a listener in the audience right now, are sitting back there and you're not doing anything. You're not paying any attention. You're just sitting back on your big dead butt and being happy and fat. And you've got to get out there and pay attention because it's happening to you, ready or not.
Well, that's why, because you're exactly right. Unless it affects you, you're just going to come home, watch your American Idol and do your little thing until, like I say, the economy gets to the point like it's gotten recently, where jobs, people are losing their jobs, industry is leaving, things are getting more costly, they're raising taxes and fees, and making it so it's almost impossible to live. I read an article yesterday, I think it's in Salem, Oregon, they're going to be adding more fees to the sewer that is not related to what the fee is supposed to go for, you know, sewage-related fees. And Portland does that as well. They have that for subsidizing other programs other than what it's supposed to go for. And people are at the point that we can't afford it anymore. It's splitting up families. I don't like to get too much into my personal life, but for us to survive, I'm living 100 miles away from home to work. You know, that's where the economy has gone, to save the house.
At least you're working. You want to talk about splitting up families. There's a lot of them where nobody's working, and that definitely splits up families.
Exactly, and it's just going to get worse before it gets better. The good thing is, though, is that some people are getting off their butt, and they are getting out there, even if it is just the Occupy movement. They're at least getting out there and getting noticed. Although the sad thing about it, though, and again, I'll refer back to Nancy Pelosi, and I don't have the soundbite for it, unfortunately, is the way that our quote-unquote employees, our leaders, are looking at it. You know, Nancy Pelosi more or less said, oh, look at those Occupy people all over the nation. Aren't they cute? It's kind of like the king and queen going, oh, look at the peasants. Aren't they revolting?
Well, you know, the thing is, they're not doing what they could be doing, but they are doing something. And I will give them kudos for that. At least they are out there doing something. Now, if we could just educate them to the point of knowing what they're supposed to be doing and how to do it, or whether it's what I believe in and whether what I agree with or not, they need to have a message. They need to have a philosophy. And they don't, unfortunately, and that's really, really sad. If we could – now, the Tea Party, on the other hand, there's a lot of people who don't like the Tea Party because it has actually turned around and got a message. It's got a thought of its own. It's doing a service. And so, you know, anytime you do that, of course, you're not going to satisfy all the people all the time, that's for sure. There are going to be a lot of people very upset with you, but then there are going to be a lot of people who are not upset with you. The point is – education. You've got to tell people what the problem is. You've got to show people what the problem is, and hopefully you have some sort of a solution to take care of the problem. Right now, my big concern is that solution going to happen fast enough to take care of the problem? We've got a president who is fast on his feet and is trying very hard to destroy us before he gets out of office. And he's actually ahead of us, I think. We've got to do something about that. But definitely by 2013, when we get around to this election, it's going to change things entirely. And we're going to see, unfortunately, I think we're going to see everything go Republican. We're going to have a Republican president. We're going to have a Republican Senate. We're going to have a Republican House. And that's probably going to be almost as bad as having them all Democrat. I mean, that's supposed to be checks and balances, not just all one thing. We need to come up with a way to make sure that can happen. That's why I want to see the Tea Party become a real party, so there's three people in there. Now, if they all have the same idea, then we're in big trouble.
If the Occupy movement, too, if they ever did get direction, they could be a big force. And speaking of running for the Republican presidency, little side note here, is that if you ever had goals of, you know, like when you were growing up, you know, I want to be a fireman, I want to be the president, well, you might as well join the crowd, because the two more people have at least announced their great candidacy. One of them is Laura Roth from Washington State, who is a self-described patriot and conservative on the American Independent Party Network. She's also a national talk show host. And Mark Cunningham, an unemployed computer technician from Eugene, is wanting to run for the Republican ticket. So, I mean, both of them have filed. So, what? I don't know what the point is, why they bother, because, you know, except for the handful of major players, I mean, you're not really going to get anywhere. I mean, be honest, unfortunately.
That's where I want to see campaign reform. That's where I have the idea. We need to come up with a set of group of debates that are free to the or pretty close to free, at least, to the candidate. But every candidate, to be able to register as a candidate, has to agree to become a part of that debate. Then those debates need to be broadcast on television. The television network, national networks, and they're going to be a little upset at this, but it's not a big thing. The national television networks have to devote 4 hours a month, each network 4 hours a month. If you've got CBS, NBC, ABC, then you've also got Fox and CNN. So you've got five. That's enough to have a bunch of debates, and nobody gets hit too hard. Nobody gets dinged too hard for the price. But they also can sell advertising in those debates. But the point is to make them available so that we can see and understand each of these candidates. And if they can't stand up under that debate, if they say, well, I'm not a good debater, then get out of the office. Get out of the fire. Because if you can't do it, you don't need to be there. I mean, I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. If you really can't do it.
What? Same thing about the, was it been one, two candidates so far that says, I don't want to participate in the debates.
Well,
take names, folks. If they don't want to show up in the debates, we don't want to even consider them.
That's right. The only one I've heard is Rick Perry, and he said there are certain debates that he doesn't want to get involved in. And understanding, you know, at this particular point, because it's not totally free, because you still have to raise huge amounts of money to continue continue your candidacy away from the debates, there is a point where I understand that going to them is a problem. But I still think that's the only way the entire country can be made aware, unless we can come up with something online that everybody can be a part of as far as this is concerned. But not everybody, not everybody has availability of the internet. That's not true. I think everybody has it available, but not everybody is interested in the internet. I don't know anybody who doesn't watch television. There are a few people who in my life have for a period of time not bothered to watch television. But the point is, we're going to hit a lot more people with a television show than we would with the internet at this particular point in time. So it's required, I think, because we've got an awful lot of I was just thinking, it's too bad.
Go ahead and finish your point.
I was just say it would be nice if I could get out and do a poll or something and talk to people and find out who has paid attention to any of these races, who knows who is what. I would like to see, just ask questions of people and ask them, you know, who is Rick Perry or who is Ron Paul or who is these people, and find out how many in percentage points of the general public isn't following this, isn't paying attention. It's your life. It's going to affect you in big, big, big ways. It already is with, 3 million people out of work. But it's going to be a lot more than that, and the ones that do work are going to be working for a hell of a lot less money than they are right now, and it's not going to be long before that's going to happen.
Well, that's where I was going to go, is how many people are actually watching the debates. I mean, I haven't really had an opportunity to really get into it. Of course, then again, I don't have a TV set. But
you can still watch the debates because they are in archive on the internet.
That's right. But I was also thinking, too, that, you know, presidential debate are American Idol. Maybe they should combine the two and put the presidential debates into an American Idol format. And you got to have Simon there on the panel, too.
Well, I'm getting so upset. Simon,
hilarious.
With his new program, the Extremes or X Factor or whatever it is, I've lost a lot of faith in Simon, I'll tell you.
No, but I'd love to see him, you know, when the president, the candidate gets up there and then it's time for the panel to give their opinion to you know, well, I really think your policies are interesting, but to be honest with you, you're a twit.
Well, yeah, that's a thought. But there's got to be, like I say, a way to do this and make it available to everybody. And it's got to be made available. And because, I don't know, there's so many people that just sit back and somebody else will take care of it. Well, it's happening right now. Somebody else isn't taking care of it, and so you're going to have to get involved and become the one or one of the ones to help take care of it. That's just all there is to it. So
I'm going to take advantage of that and do a quick lead-in here with 30 minutes remaining in the program. Speaking of taking care of it, we have quite a lot of people popping in now the chat room. Most of them, unfortunately, are guests, which means that they can only see what's going on, not participate. But I do want to, again, extend the invitation to participate by giving us a call, 646-721-9887. If you are a guest, you can also join us in the other chat room at krbnradio.com, where no pre-registration or joining up anything is required.
Exactly. And all you have to do is just type it in at the bottom. I'm not good at typing and talking and doing all this at the same time, so I don't do that. But if you will type a question, we'll do it on the open microphone and answer you in real live talking. And that way you don't have to talk if you're worried about talking. Or some people don't call us because I don't want to hear my voice on the radio. I get so nervous. But you can always type it on the bottom of your on your keyboard so that we can see what it is. I mean, I'll just type something there and see how easy that is, folks. That doesn't make any sense, but it's easy to.
And how?
Yeah.
I'm so impressed.
Okay.
We do respond to the emails, folks, and the requests of why you guys keep coming back, why bother, because we want to. So, anyways.
Anyway, there's just so much. It's so important right now, and I think we're running out of time. I mean, we've only got a couple months left before we have our first primary election, and then we're into the actual election process in earnestly. And consequently, we need to have people paying attention to what's going on so that they know what's taking place. And people are not doing that. I'm just totally amazed that people are doing it.
Well, too, we're literally a few days less than 1 year away
from the main election. But we've got primaries coming up in January.
Right, exactly. And there's one of my little rant and raves. First of all, for one thing, being over here on the West Coast in Oregon, because it starts out with, you know, 5, 6, 7 people. And then as it, you know, with the different primaries, it starts getting weeded out. And by the time we get it to say our 2 cents worth in, we're down to two candidates. And it's like, okay, fine. Why should I get out of the house?
You don't. You do it by mail here.
Well, it doesn't matter how you do it. But the point is that, you know, you may have your favorite candidate that started out in the beginning, like say the 5 or 6 that are going. And as they go through the different primaries, they either drop out or whatever, they just don't stick with it. Which, I, again, if you're not going to try and see it through to the end, why even bother? Is one of my points. And then by the time we get a chance to even offer our opinion, it's, we're already down to, like, I don't care about either one of those. What's on TV?
Well, yeah, that's the case. I understand what you're saying. The timing of when these different states vote is up to the state. It's not up to a national collection. So if we're that late in voting, it's our fault. It's not somebody else's fault. And so,
well, no, it's not our fault. It's just that by the time we get a chance to offer our opinion in the primary, especially on the West Coast here, there's nobody to pick from. They've all been weeded out or gave up or do whatever.
That is not the case. The fact is that we could have our primary in January if we wanted it, when everybody is still in there. The primaries, that's a different story. Now, that's, you know, because the primary is, the date for the primary is picked by the states themselves. As a matter of fact, they're having big fights about that right now as to who can be first, because everybody thinks that whoever first is the one that controls this whole thing. If they win in Iowa and Iowa's first, then that's who's going to win. Well, that's a bunch of bunk in the first place. That doesn't mean anything at all, but they're still doing that. So Oregon could jump in there and say our primary is going to be tomorrow if they want. Well, they can't. There's a certain date that it has to start after. But anyway, if we're that late, it's because we chose to be. So maybe we better talk to our legislature and our whoever makes those decisions. I don't even know who it is. I'll have to look that up and find out this week. But we need to change the date of when our primary is then. I don't know when our primary is.
Well, and we're also going to get into the argument, too, because as we get closer to the elections, is about the Electoral College. Again, why, like Cliff and I are both in agreement on, we need to do something about the two-party system. But the unfortunate thing is, to my knowledge, nobody outside of the Republican Democrats have ever been elected to presidency, much less I'm not sure about Congress, though. But the point is that twice in our history, the Electoral College has put somebody in office over the popular vote. And like with Ross Perot, for example, he was running as a third party, I believe. He got zero electoral votes. It's like, what's the point? If you can't get any electoral votes because that's what actually puts people in the office, why bother having all these other people run under different parties? All that does is just dilute the vote.
Well, that is true, and I honestly believe that it's not going to be very long before the Electoral College is eliminated. I keep bringing that up, and I keep bringing it up to people who are very smart, and they come up with these very smart ideas and reasons why the Electoral College is important. I still disagree with them and don't like the idea of the Electoral College, but there's a growing faction of people that don't like the Electoral College and are, I think, going to start doing something about that as well. But that, like you say, twice in our history that this has happened, I don't think it's a big major problem. If we could get enough people voting in a third party, which is, you see, the thing that's happening now is we don't have a third party, but we have the Tea Party people are running as some other party. They're not running as a third party. So they are running as a party where they could get into the Electoral College. And so, consequently, it's a little different story. This Tea Party idea is not a bad idea. And until they can turn into a real party and become a part of a system, they're doing it the right way. And I really want to keep pushing. They're doing it the right way. Now, there are other parties out there that are doing things as well and are not doing it nearly as well as the Tea Party has done it. I mean, we've had other parties. We've got probably 100 different parties that are available out there that are running candidates that don't do anything very well and don't do anything most of all. The Libertarian Party finally did get into the system at one time and had enough money to buy into things, but even it kind of went by the boards and so isn't doing anything now. So the Tea Party is liable to be our savior as far as this party is concerned, and I'd like to see it get bigger, not smaller.
Well, and you know that they're actually making a difference because when the big dogs in D.C. start pulling the racist card out, well, they're racist. You shouldn't be involved with them. They're racist. Well, you're an idiot. So what?
Yeah, as soon as anybody starts accomplishing anything, there's going to be epithets thrown at them. And that's good, to be honest with you, because there's a lot of things that could be done and need to be done, and they're starting to do them. They're getting the money, they're getting the people, they're getting the people with brains are becoming involved.
I mean, they're getting organized, they're keeping the pressure on to the point that they've actually become a really important political movement. And again, Washington doesn't like it, but who cares?
Yeah.
If they like it or not. It you know, because what it is, especially what's going on now in the last couple of years, is it's affecting the fat cats, for lack of a nicer term, the career politicians, because when things are going smooth, they can do whatever they want to do behind the scenes. Nobody cares what they do. You know, when you look at C-SPAN, look at how many people actually show up in the chambers, you know, and then you get the thing, like I said, read the bill. Why read the bill? Now people are getting more and more aware, and they're demanding that our representatives actually work.
Yeah, and it's about time. It's about time. I wanted to before we go much further, I want to tell you about because I'm going to bring up the debates that are coming up so that you can be alerted. I'm going to do this again. On November 9th, that's only a couple days away now, folks. On November 9th, on CNBC, there's going to be a debate. The Michigan Republican Party and the Oakland University are the people doing this for you. But that's going to be on CNBC, okay? CNBC is the network that it's on. So on the 9th, which is just 2 days from now, at 8 o'clock Eastern time, which, of course, what's 5 o'clock our time. So that's the next debate that's coming up. And I would try to get in and take a look at that. On November 12th, these are fairly close together, so there's a lot of stuff going on. There's every opportunity to see these things. On November 12th, on CBS at 8 o'clock Eastern time, on CBS, the Wofford College in Spartanburg in South Carolina are going to be sponsoring that, and the National Journal and Republican Party of South Carolina. So November 12th at 8 o'clock on CBS. Now, that's a major network. Everybody gets CBS, okay? Even if you don't get CNBC, and I think everybody does. But the next one, and that's November 12th. November 15th, again, now these are only 2 or 3 days apart. There's a lot of them going on here. On November 15th at 8 o'clock Eastern time, 5 o'clock our time, on CNN, 8 o'clock on CNN, is going to be another one. This is the Heritage Foundation doing another one. The Heritage, I think, if they've already done one on CNN, but they're going to be doing another one. And if they haven't done one, they're always the good ones to watch. They're really very interesting to watch, in the American Enterprise Institute. So there's the next three episodes, or the next three debates coming up, and I just want to make sure that you're aware. Write them down, look them up, do whatever you want to do, but it's 9th, 12th, and 15th at 8 o'clock on CNBC, CBS, and CNN. And this is how you can inform yourself about these people. You can actually see them talk. You can see them answer questions. You can see them, you know, pussyfoot around if you wish to consider it that way. Or you can see them squirm in their chair if they're asked the wrong thing. And hopefully they won't sit there and just start yelling at each other, because this particular set of candidates has been pretty good about not doing that, Rick Perry being the instigator in most of it, and which is why I would not be even consider voting for Rick Perry at this particular point, is because that's all it can do is instigate yelling at another candidate about something that they've done in the past. Let's talk about what we want to do now and what we can do to accomplish what's going to be best for the country, not that, you know, Mitt Romney hired an alien somewhere along the line inadvertently, or even if under some process. I don't care. One. Anyway.
Yeah, and more importantly, LaToya Jackson is tweeting regarding the verdict of her brother's murder, I guess, which is announced today at 3 o'clock Pacific time.
Oh, yeah? And I guess that's okay.
Well, that's kind of like I say, where the nation goes. You know, heck with politics. When, you know, the Jackson trials are more important, just like the X Factor.
Well, I can see the X Factor is more important. I don't find the Jackson trials more important. But what it is, this was a pretty unique situation where a doctor is taking a drug that's not even authorized to be used out of the hospital and giving it to him. I mean, that's just totally insane. And so I would want to do something about that, too, because I don't want other doctors doing that to other people in our society. There's a reason that that drug was not made available for everybody to use. And that's what happened. It kills people. So, you know, I don't believe that, well, I don't think it's a big thing at this point. It's been gone on long enough, but it's good to get over with.
Yeah. Well, it's 3 o'clock today. They've already come to a verdict, and they're going to be announcing it, but I was just kind of throwing it out there and also making a little bit about.
Well, if it's 3 o'clock Eastern time, it's already done. You know, everything happens Eastern time. We don't count on this coast because there's so few of us here. There's only a few hundred million people, and on the East Coast, there's lots more. Well, or something like that.
Yeah. What's a few hundred million among friends?
Yeah, right. And besides, you know, I don't have it here. I've had a big thing about earthquakes. Earthquakes are a big thing in the news lately, and I don't know if you know about that or not, but we just had one in Oklahoma or something, wasn't it? And where we don't ever have earthquakes, and we had a pretty major earthquake there. The first one since 1925 or something like that. That's been a major earthquake. But I went and looked at where the earthquakes are. Of course, the most earthquakes take place in Alaska. I mean, that's where they are. And then the next, second most number of earthquakes in the United States takes place in Canada and in California. So we're liable to lose California and Alaska. They're going to drop off into the ocean. So it's going to take down our population a little, leave a little bit more room for us.
A little thing on the Jackson thing. The Michael Jackson's doctor was convicted today of involuntary manslaughter after the trial painted him as a reckless caregiver who administered the lethal dose of the powerful anesthetic that killed the pop star, as it says. So he apparently found guilty.
At least we've got it solved and we got it understood, and maybe he'll go to jail, which would be fine, you know, except that they involuntary, so they won't go to jail.
It brings up the point. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. It brings up the point that if somebody has a lot of money, you can find somebody that's willing to go around the process, so to speak.
Yeah.
For that.
Yeah, there's always someone. But, you know, again, I'm sorry. I happen to blame Michael Jackson significantly for this whole thing, too, because, you know, there's got to be other ways of doing whatever was going on. He didn't get enough sleep. He doesn't get sleep was his biggest problem. Well, I'm sorry. You do get sleep. The human body can't stay awake forever and continue to function. And so consequently, you're getting to sleep somewhere. I don't care if it's every 5 minutes that you blink your eyes for a minute instead of a second and get a minute's sleep. It, you know, somewhere it's there. Because, you know, the human body can't stay awake forever. It just isn't going to do it, I don't think. And if it can, I want to know how I can accomplish
something. I don't play a doctor on the radio or TV, and I'm not one in real life either.
Well, I don't even try. So I am playing with doctors nowadays in my old age because my whole body has decided to collapse at once. And
well, you had a near-death experience, but anyways, modern medicine is quite a miracle. Anyways, we've got last 14 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887. If you still have an opinion on this, you know, please give us a call. Like I said, there's been lots of traffic in and out of the chat room, and thanks to those people that visited, and thanks to Oscar Talks, who's been with us for the majority of the program and contributed a little bit in the chat room. So, again, a good opportunity. Give us a call, 646-721-9887, on this or anything else that's on your mind. And, again, if you're listening to us on the archives, please feel free to either comment in the comments section or follow us on Facebook or send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com.
Good idea, good idea. Oklahoma, by the way, their earthquake was 5.6, which, you know, really, compared to the earthquakes here on the West Coast, isn't that big because we've got, unless they're over 6.5 or 6.5 or something like that, nobody even pays much attention to them. But for back there, it was important. And I know we do have a lot of earthquakes around here that are significantly bigger than that. And I'm a little concerned because right here in Oregon, we're due, okay?
We've had a few shakers, but you know, we've been mostly concerned about tsunamis out here. But
well,
when they whistle off, nobody knows what to do about it.
They usually come from earthquakes too, so you know, earthquakes are the ultimate answer, I guess. But we haven't had a major earthquake for 50, 60 years, and we're right on 3 or 4 faults right here in Oregon, and the same with Washington, and so we're due any time. California.
Hey, I wanted to ask a question here real quick, you know, getting back to the presidential debates. Herman Cain, I think, he had a one-on-one, was it with Newt Gingrich?
Yes.
The other day?
Yes.
And if I remember, because I heard this on the radio, wasn't Newt Gingrich when they were talking about the troops overseas, foreign aid, stating that we should cut off all foreign aid because if we're borrowing money from China and others, we can't afford to be giving money away to other countries.
He has made,
I believe that
about that, yes.
Yeah, I believe that was him saying that. And I know that you're a big fan of Newt Gingrich, and I tell you, it was very refreshing when I heard this on the radio the other day, of somebody actually coming out and saying that. I mean, I know that in some cases it's in the U.S. best interest to give aid out, but looking at it from what you can relate to, like your own personal household, is like if you don't have the money and you got to borrow money from somebody to pay your own bills, as much as you'd love to help everybody out, you have to be a little selfish. I hate to say it because, like the old thing, you can't help somebody if you can't help yourself.
Yeah. Ron Paul has been the one that's been more vocal on that, but Gingrich has talked about it as well. Ron Paul, he was asked if he was going to bring the troops home.
What's the globe look like if you start bringing back American troops? You pull them out of Germany, out of Japan, out of Korea. Is there any place out there that you would have forces outside the territory of the United States?
No, I'd bring them all home. I'd bring them home. Would you
then project power into any part of the world with the Navy?
No, power. You want to have the facility to defend our country, but we're less able to defend ourselves right now because the number one threat to us now is terrorist attacks. And you know, before 2003, when we went into Iraq, on the average there were 3 suicide attacks per year. By 2007, there were 700 per year. So the attacks have grown by leaps and bounds because of the very presence that we have overseas. The troops are over there because of miscalculation, and the miscalculation is the fact that we've never asked as a country what was the motivation of 9/11. If you don't ask the motivation and you continue to do the same thing, those numbers of attacks are going to grow and grow. And the more troops you put around the world and looking at the sanctuary rather than at the problem, the greater danger we're going to be in and the more vulnerable we'll be in. And besides, we're bankrupt. We can't afford it anymore. So I would bring the troops home. It would be a big boom to the economy. I believe we would have a stronger national defense, not a weaker national defense.
So he has his opinion, and Gingrich is basically similar to that, I think. He's not for keeping all of these people. He made the comment one time that you should bring them all home and put them on the south border with Mexico.
Well, and that's a good – well, I kind of have to agree with that. I mean, you talk about country, you know, we're – like I said, I refer to it like the game of chess. You put all your pawns on the other side of the board while your king's vulnerable.
Yeah, yeah. And that's it. We, you know, we're spending all the money doing that. And if you go and look at it, there's not one of these countries that we have troops in that is really our friend. Not really. Most of them are beginning to hate us. And so get the hell out of there and bring them home and take care of yourself first. I mean, we have this thing, again, there's another thing on here about nations fail when we send troops everywhere else around the world, and we can't afford to do that. That's almost every nation that has failed has done that. They've tried to control the world or at least patrol the world, and that's when you go down, and we're there, folks. We're there. We're absolutely everywhere, and we're trying to push our opinion, I guess that's what I'll say, rather than way of life, but that sort of an idea to other people. And not the rest of the world doesn't live that way. We are not the rest of the world. That's why that people came here, was to be different than the rest of the world. So we can't go back and now try to tell the rest of the world we're right and you're wrong. So, you know, do it our way. There's a whole lot more of them than there is of us.
I mean, it's one thing to tell another country or tell a neighbor who whatever, you need to do it my way because I know what I'm doing, when you look in the mirror and find out you really don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, we're going under too, folks. We're bankrupt just as much as the rest of them us are, and so for who's leading who?
And exactly.
Where are we?
It makes us it makes us look silly in the eyes of the world.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'll go along with that. I'll go along. I mean, who are we to sit here as somebody 200 years we've been around and trying to tell, you know, Italy or Spain or Greece, who have been here for thousands of years, what to do? You know, they've weathered this storm a hell of a lot longer than we have.
Well, when you think about it, too, I mean, usually on television where you see riots and everything, it's usually at another country, usually some third world country. And now lately, you know, we're around the world, the riots in the United States. You know, again, we need to, like I say, bring Mrs. Clinton home. You know, start focusing on working on getting our act together, and then we can better help everybody else. But we first got to kind of look. We got to take care of our own situations because we're not sitting very good. And I mean, granted, we're a global economy, but even still, you know, we can't help the world if we neglect ourselves, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
That's right. We need to pay attention to what has happened. I mean, ready or not, things are falling apart right now, and we need to try to figure out how to take care of those. And that's the biggest thing, is that we're fighting amongst ourselves. We're fighting. We've got the three different branches of government are basically fighting amongst themselves. Basically, it's most of the government funding Obama. So that's the thing we've got to change first. That's the first thing we've got to work on, is getting that to change, because we can't have the whole country fighting against the president, and the president just going out there and saying, to hell with you, I don't care about the Constitution, I don't care about anything, we're going to do it my way. If that's the case, then we need to say, hey, it's your way, your way is the highway, and that's just all there is to it.
And again, on the same token, because a lot of people are disagreeing with the president, and the president is pointing his finger at everybody and acting like a child on the playground, the president is supposed to be the most powerful person in the world. And
now,
how does that look?
I'm sorry, but you've got a minor problem there. That's only an United States point of view, that the president is the most powerful person in the world, because he really isn't.
No, he's not. But that's what they always say. You know, he's the most powerful man in the world, most important office. But even still, just locally, he is the most important person in the United States.
Well,
he holds the highest office.
He used to be looked up to by the rest of the world, but this president is not looked up to by the rest of the world.
Yeah, and they're wondering why, people are looking at Herman Cain, for example. They say, well, he's not experienced. He's never been a politician. Exactly.
He's never been anything. He's never been a businessman. He's never been much of anything. He's,
Herman Cain talking about, not the president.
Herman Cain? Oh.
Speaking,
he has been a politician, because when he was running this restaurant association, he definitely had to be a politician for that.
Well, you got a point in that regard, because when you're head of the NRA, the National Restaurant Association, not the gun control people, but yeah, you're right. I mean, you have to. He's got some business.
Women all after him is because, being a politician, that's who they go after. They think there's big money there, which there probably was.
Yeah, exactly. But, most of the people up there in D.C. right now, they don't have any business. A lot of them don't have any business. Some do. I don't know the figures, but it really makes you wonder. And I'm going to throw this out real quick, and then we need to wrap it up. It's just, I'll get back to what happened, I think it was last year in Oregon legislature, before we changed governors. Ted Taxson Gouge, our current governor at the time, created a special legislative session to focus on jobs. And the very first thing that they put out was they voted to make the border collie the state dog. They weren't there to do that. They were there to work on the economy. Now, the thing is this granted, this is local, it's Oregon, but is this the mindset of the other states and the people that run our nation?
Really? I'll tell you what the mindset right now is. Everybody wants to get ready for the holidays. And I am amazed. They're talking about Black Friday. You know what Black Friday is? Macy's is planning its earliest start ever to the holiday season by opening its stores at midnight on Thanksgiving night to go for the big sales. Target is going to do about the same thing. National Retail Federation has said that they expect the retail sales to go up 2.8% in November and December, excluding cars, gas, and restaurants. So they're hoping for some recovery here in what the money is going to do. We're so out in the dumps at this particular point that people are grasping at straws anywhere they can, and so opening their stores earlier and giving people the opportunity to buy and doing it on sales, that's hopefully that'll help out a little.
You can put your non-dimensional present under the holiday tree. But anyway, that's all we got for the day, folks. Again, thanks to the people that checked us out. Thank you, Oscar, for staying with us through the program. We appreciate it. Again, you can always send us emails, talk at KR. We'll be back again next Monday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. And if you come across something that just makes your smoke come out of your ear, send us an email, and maybe we'll talk about it on next week's program.
Everybody have a good time and a great week.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.